many times the work of the IGs is unsung, and so we think that we need to celebrate the accomplishments of many of our members. And so every year we have a nomination process where every IG office is given the chance to nominate outstanding audits, investigations, people who do management and legal support in their offices. And we also offer a series of very special awards for people who have provided outstanding service to the Congress in its oversight and policymaking capacities, as well as people who have given heroic effort in their work. We've recognized on occasion people who have died in the line of duty, law enforcement officials, which are very tragic situations, and of course they have made the ultimate sacrifice. And we also like to recognize people who have a long career in oversight and who have contributed tremendously to the community.
And let's be honest, a lot of times you guys come and if somebody's having to deal with the IG, they're sort of going, "Oop," and going, "Oh my goodness, what have I done wrong?" You're not always the favorite people in the building.
Well, I think that is one of the challenges of our jobs, is to make sure that the policymakers really understand the value of what we're trying to do. Because deep down, the mission of an IG is to help a program official, to help the head of the agency, help Congress really dig into the issues that are on the table and come up with good solutions to make programs better. And so we're all on the same side when you look at it that way. And so that is our biggest challenge, is to help people realize that we're here really to help.
And it does sometimes feel, particularly right now, like the job of the IG, at least how you do your job, evolving to a certain degree. And I'm thinking mostly about the recovery board and how they have done their work. And I think that is really influencing a lot of IGs just in terms of openness and transparency. And in a way, the job is evolving, I think.
Well, that's a very good point. As you know, the recovery board was constituted about a year and a half ago, and it's made up of 13 IGs.
Yeah.
And it has challenged those of us who are on that board to really think in terms of how are we delivering our mission as IGs. Are we being as transparent and accountable as we can be? Are we being as proactive as we can be? And I think that has been very good for all of us to think through that and to make our operations even better.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the people you recognized earlier this week, because and there's a whole selection of folks who, as you mentioned, have given the ultimate sacrifice, people who have given their lives in out of duty.
That's right. Sometimes you think of an auditor, as someone who's coming in and they're looking at your books and records and your financials, and how could that be a situation where somebody is putting their life or their well-being at risk? And frankly, there aren't many situations like that, but on occasion there are situations where our auditors and investigators are threatened with physical and bodily harm, and some of them have made the ultimate sacrifice. Most recently, Buddy Centner at Justice, who was killed while executing arrest warrants on some Bureau of Prisons correction officers a few years ago. And very tragic story, but he was a hero and he saved the lives of his colleagues. And so we do feel that that kind of sacrifice deserves ultimate recognition by all of us.
And one of the people that you recognized is the Paul Converse, who is the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. They've done some remarkable work, and talk about some work that is really resulting in some incredible lessons learned that are having benefits for all of government.
That's true. The Special IG for Iraq Reconstruction has really ramped up very quickly in the last several years when they were constituted to provide oversight of the many, many dollars that are going over there. And they have produced a number of very significant reports. And as you point out, one of their audit staff was very seriously wounded and ultimately died of injuries while he was over there. Again, it's a very risky job, the risky area, and we salute all of our auditors and investigators who take on that responsibility.
Yeah. And I know part of the awards were recognizing people who are doing really that cutting-edge work.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some lessons learned from the people you've recognized that other IGs and even other folks who are trying to root out waste, fraud, and abuse within their organizations can take and to help them do their jobs better?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we do like to have these award ceremonies and recognize people, because frequently all of us learn from the challenges that our award winners have faced, and we get new ideas on how to approach challenges. And I know that one of our most prestigious awards was given to the SEC, IG, Securities and Exchange Commission, who faced tremendous challenges in looking at how the SEC addressed the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. And I think all of us, we had a chance to have the SEC IG talk to all of us at one of our regular meetings about the different challenges and tools and techniques that he used to go about completing his investigation. And we learned a tremendous amount from that as a community.
And my goodness, sometimes people can almost underestimate how challenging the bad guys sometimes are very, very good at covering up how they're doing their jobs.
Well, they are. And so one of the main purposes of the Council of IGs is for all of us to get together regularly and trade information, trade analytical and investigative techniques, figure out how we can work together to go after some of these very creative schemes. And I think that is perhaps the biggest benefit of having this Council of IGs.
And I know your most prestigious award is what you call the Alexander Hamilton Award. The winner of that was?
The Defense Department IG.
And they won for their work doing what?
Oh, for looking at the use of funds regarding the Afghanistan security forces, just to see whether those funds were appropriately spent. And I think they found that there were some significant issues there that needed to be addressed by the department, the Defense Department.
And give us some other, because I know the Census Oversight Team, of course, the Census has gone on for the past year and a half in full force, gone on for 10 years. But, those folks done a remarkable job. They were one of the awardees.
Absolutely. They won a significant government-wide award for that. As you know, the Census is such a significant project that the U.S. government undertakes, and it's the basis for all the benefit programs, across the board. And so it's important to get a really good read on the data. And the IG's office there understood that, and so they were involved in reviewing the census process for over a year and found some issues there. I think the main one found that the Census Bureau paid temporary workers who were trained but actually did no work, and so that was not a good use of government funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one that I was really impressed with was from the IRS.
Yes. Our special IG for tax administration was honored for a review that they did involving threats against IRS employees after the February plane crash in IRS at the IRS office in Austin, Texas. And they were right in there helping to address that situation and to restore trust and credibility.
Is there a way that that you can come into somebody's office and people not go, ugh, the IG, and instead look at you guys and say, oh, this is somebody with different eyes that's going to take a look at our project or what we're doing? Is it possible we could ever live in that world?
Well, we hope so, and we work towards that actively. And I think what you will see if you look around government, there are agencies and departments where that kind of relationship exists. Now, there's always going to be a little bit of wariness, but as time develops and relationships develop between IGs and their agencies, and agencies realize that, in fact, we're here to help, we're not here with a gotcha attitude, that relationships do ease up, and many times I have found that program officials will reach out to us and say, look, I've got a difficult situation here. An agency head will reach out and say, I have a really tough situation. I need to get to the bottom of it. I need somebody who's independent and objective to come in and just tell me what the facts are, and then I can go from there. And when you get to that point where your agency head and your program officials are asking you to come in, I think that is a mark of success, and it really indicates that, yes, you are now viewed as a valuable member of the team. And I see that going on around government.
Very nice. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Well, I appreciate your calling us, and we are here. Our stakeholders are Congress, agency officials, and the taxpayer. And ultimately, we're all working for the taxpayer to make sure that funds are used as effectively as they can be.
And it is an important role, and you like to have, I always find it valuable to have somebody who has that sort of objective opinion and can come in and say, hold on, why, you know, may have a view that you just maybe never even thought of.
That's a very good way to look at it.